Blog Talk Radio.
This is Getting It Done, and I am your host for the program, and I am Dr. Walter Dean. And for the last 3 weeks, we have been featuring great jazz singers, two of which were Lena Horne and the great, the most luscious, Sarah Vaughan. This week we are featuring Lady Day, who is better known as Billie Holiday. Getting It Done will be more than happy to allow you to write comments and send comments to me about this week's program.
Her genius was raw, and it was just bang, and she had it, and she did it, because I don't think she chose singing per se because she thought she was a great singer, or because she wanted to sing. I think she really didn't know what she wanted to do. And that got changed, and that got changed, so the vibe, and it scared me. My God, bless the child that's got it known. Oh, she had the heart and the soul, and she had stuff to do to make you cry. And, hey, who could ask anything more? How many other artists who created masterpieces had unsurmountable personal problems? And we celebrate the fact that a person with those problems could achieve such a high level of aesthetic statement. That's what's important.
It was a real swing street. It was jumping with after hours spots, restaurants, cafes. And those are memories now.
Billie Holiday's autobiography was published in 1956, 3 years before the genius singer's death at 44. The book portrays her as more the savvy student of society and pitiful victim of life than her friends and relatives recall.
Mom and Pop were just a couple of kids when they got married. He was 18, she was 16, and I was 3.
As we risk talking about her when she's gone, let us set this part of the story straight. When Billie was born in 1915, her mother, Sadie Fagan, was 19. Her father, Clarence Holiday, was 17. The young lovers did not ever live together. They never married. Billie, whose given name was Eleanor Fagan, may not have been born in Baltimore, but in Philadelphia, where Sadie Fagan seems to have fled to escape her family's disappointment that she was unmarried. But the exaggerations do hold a deep truth. They reveal the person she wanted to be, her values and sense of life. And when she tells about the music and the inside world of musicians, she is usually quite accurate, sometimes eloquently so.
I used to love to sing all the time. I like music. If there was a place where I could go and hear it, I went.
One of Billie's stepfathers, Wee Hill, recalls that at home in Baltimore, Billie was singing all the time, while doing chores, taking a bath, or just walking through the rooms. It was at the town's good time houses and click choice that she perfected her craft. Arriving at age 12 in New York, at the height of the Harlem Renaissance and of the jazz age, she found she could make money singing and speaking these Jim Mills and Reefer pairs, often working table to table for tips. In the early 1930s, wealthy jazz booster, later far-seeing record producer John Hammond, first heard Billy at an uptown club and began trying to assist her career.
Ain't got the least desire to set the world on fire. Just wish you'd make it proper. Call my old man Papa. You don't have to sing like that song. You can tell the world I said so. Can't you see you've got to be a mother's son-in-law?
In November 1933, Hammond cut the first two records of 18-year-old Billie Holiday. She was the girl vocalist with an integrated studio band including Gene Krupa and Benny Goodman. In later years, Billie laughed off my mother's son-in-law, saying her voice sounded high and funny, and certainly the record did not sell. Still, it had the promise of the truly great studio dates just around the corner.
I started moving from club to club in Harlem, and everywhere I went, something was happening. Later on, John Hammond paired me up with Teddy Wilson and his band for another record session.
But go slow, oh, don't you all get familiar. Why do you think you've come to town? Just the way you see the love of a living is brand new. It ain't anything. Yeah, yeah.
She didn't know whether anybody was going to like her or not. You know, because there was nobody. Not a soul that I know of. But Pops, who Louis Armstrong, who was singing that kind of hip way of singing, you know? And when she said that Louis Armstrong was one of her idols, I can do it, you know?
But the world is done. I'm watching the league. Because the one I love. Soon come back to me. I covered the world with fun in search of my love and covered by the solid kind of love.
Well, she was crazy about Louis, but every person is and was. That's because of the way she attacked the words and could swing just like a trumpet player.
Unless it was the records of Bessie Smith and Louis Armstrong I heard as a kid, I don't know anybody who actually influenced my singing. They own that. I always wanted Bessie's big sound and Pop's feeling.
Billie grew up in Baltimore's rough and ready section called Fells Point. She was first called Billie by her father, Clarence Holiday, guitarist for the Fletcher Henderson Band. She chose the new name after seeing screen star Billie Dove, whose smooth elegance the young singer wanted for herself. She was such a regular hooky player, she was placed in a home for wayward girls at age 10 and never passed beyond fifth grade. She detested cleaning for whites. I didn't want to be nobody's damn maid, she remembers. So she skipped past Baltimore's white steps to hang with the hustlers and prostitutes of the point, the night creatures. In Baltimore's bordellos and good times houses, Billie first heard Louis Armstrong and Bessie Smith on graphophones set up for patrons' enjoyment. Billie was not only a favorite pretty baby of her customers, but she sang along with records or house piano players to make the good times roll.
My man got a heart like a rocket in the sea. My man's got a heart like a rocket in the sea.
What Billie put on records was had a different sound than I see how Billy's blues were more modern.
She was a blues singer. It was just that she's dealing with material which is mainly developed from the 12 bar chorus David is a. Her songs are confused with the blues when they're not. When she's closer, she's as close to being a torch singer, you know, wearing a heart on her sleeve, which blues singers don't do. And much of her material is closer to torching than riffing on the blues. No, but if you say she's a jazz singer,
she was a jazz singer. She had instant tonality. She had a fantastic ear.
She made sounds that was, to me, was so hip. You know, she never was too much of an improviser as far as jazz was concerned. But she never stayed either straight with the melody.
She had a fantastic conception of music. So I have had any formal training.
She never learned to use music or to know what key she was singing in. Like many jazz musicians, she played by ear. As part of a gig or at an after-hours session, whether or not for pay, Billy often would sing with just piano accompaniment. According to the great tap dancer Honey Coles, she sometimes would team up with two or three acts, including himself, perhaps another singer, and a comedian to take turns working a small club for tips.
Any morning after I finished working, there was always a big jam session on down here. Cats would come up after they finished their gigs in the big studio office, and they would sit in with the greatest guys around.
The jam session was always a workshop. You hear the different voices, different ways of stylizing tunes, different approaches, different definitions of what was going on.
Out of the jam, the cutting challenges, the sly flirtations, the leapfrogging exchanges of friendly as well as confrontational expression, Billy's artistic identity was forged.
It was at one of these sessions that I first met Leslie Young.
Lester's voice like horn, Billy's horn like voice, the most perfectly matched instruments in jazz.
Black people thought they were loving, but they never were. They were brother and sister types. You know, he loved Sadie, Billy's mother.
It's just like talking to a bunch of friends. When you hear Lester go this way, you have something to go with it.
Personally, I always tried to play with Lady, but I didn't want to obstruct anything she did. And she had a special, pretty phrase. I wouldn't play in that until she came to the end of the phrase. Then I would fool around a little bit, what we call fill up the windows.
Be myself and I are all in love with you. We all think you're wonderful with me. Be myself and I have just one point of view. We're convinced there's no one else like you.
We didn't really have to rehearse this. Everybody on the record session was great. So we didn't bother about it. I mean, the only thing we needed to learn was the introduction and the last course. Other than that, it was all, you know, everybody go for itself.
Many people who marvel at the fact that not a lot of rehearsal was involved in the production of a number of really fine Billie Holiday records. It's marvelous mainly because it sounds so good, but the process is not marvelous at all. You simply hear the music at all times, and she was working with people whose styles and whose approaches and whose feelings and whose values she knew.
Everybody in that band's timing was perfection. Chris, Lester Young, and of course the rhythm section, Joe Jones, Walt Page, Major Freddie Green. They were called the All-American Rhythm Section, and that was, if you didn't have time, you didn't make it in Gracie's band.
Deep rhythm captivates me. Hot rhythm stimulates me. Can't help but swing it, boy. Swing it, brother, swing. Don't stop the dizzy battle. Stop this foolish battle. Come on, swing me, king. Swing it, brother, swing. Well, it ain't just gold. It ain't nobody gonna hold me down. Hey, listen, folks. Hurry up and send me, let me go down. Stop this evil matter. Get this foolish matter. Come on, kill me, Joe. Swing it, brother, swing. Deep rhythm has to be free. Cut rhythm stimulates me. Can't help but swing it, boy. Swing it, brother, swing.
She couldn't swing, she couldn't be in the bassist band, because he had the swingiest band in the land. And that's where she became Lady Day in the Count Basie band. Lester Young gave her the name of Lady.
Lady Day was what Lester called Billy's mother. That was Lady Day, and Lady just took it. You know, no, if you knew Lady Day, you wouldn't be surprised. If you knew Billy Holiday, you wouldn't be surprised. And she just took it, because he didn't call Billy Lady Day at first. He called her mother. And she used to cook these marvelous meals and invite everybody that Lady wanted to invite to her house.
The way you hold your name. The way we dance, you play. The way you change my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
We get off the bus after a 500-mile trip going to the studio with no meeting, no need for coffee and sandwiches. And I say, what do we do, 2-bar or 4-bar intro? Somebody say, make it 4 1/4. And I say, you play behind me at first 8, Lester. And then Harry Aisman come in with Buck Clayton and take the next 8 bars.
We were like brothers. Whatever we felt like doing in the bus, because we lived in the bus.
Oh, let's see, I would say basis band groups. Two out of a 51 night is near.
Couple could go, come downtown and feel comfortable in the room
amongst white patrons.
I knew all about Billie Holiday because when I was quite young, I was lucky enough to have a family that loved music. And they bought a record collection, and among the records that they had was a record called Strange Fruit.
And Billy had started the same Strange Fruit at the Cafe Society, and when she stood so erect with a pin spot on her head in a darkened room, and particularly when she sang Strange Fruit, it was so dramatic, it just, you could hear a pin drop in that room.
That really blew me away. I'd never heard anything like it. I knew it was banned. I knew why it was banned. And without knowing her, she became an idol of mine.
I recorded Strange Fruit because Billy went up to Columbia's offices. They wouldn't let her record it because of the content of the song. It really was the very first important protest song. And with the anti-lynching motif, and they were afraid of their Southern dealers.
Well, that wasn't too political. That was just straight life facts, you know. If you know the lyrics of that, Ken. It's straight, that's what was going on at that time.
It's not that Columbia was against it. They just didn't want to have trouble and bad press, I guess, with their Southern dealers. And they wouldn't let it go. First of all, to them, it wasn't a pop song, and it really wasn't. It was a special song.
Her voice had an intimacy. We felt that she had lived through the lyrics she was singing. She knew what she was singing about. And she also had that kind of thing they call charisma, I guess, that makes somebody think that they're singing only to you.
Southern streets, they're strange fruit. None on the leaves, and none at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant scouts, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Hail the fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to get up, for the wind to stop, for the sun to rock, for the trees to God. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
That's what everybody wants to do. Catholic Society to hear them. Billy do that number. Of course, everyone liked everything she did, but that was what really started her.
Well, I think up until that point, singers just sang songs. They didn't get too dramatic about it. But Billy was had a strong feeling for drama, and she put this in her music, and that gave it a completely different quality.
Billy Holiday was never a person noted for fantastic voice. It was her interpretation, her delivery, her sensibility that she was able to get into her musical statement.
By 1940, Lady was a rising star. Across the nation, her records were played on jukeboxes and on the radio. Serious singers of all genres were acclaimed by her unique sound. Now, Billy took her place not so much as the lady who swung the dance bands, as the small combo lady whose subtle art scared the blues away from nightclubs and cabarets.
What's the difference if I say
you go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday.
Take 52nd Street in the late 30s and early 40s. Swing Street, they called it. Joint after joint was jumping. It was this new kind of music. They didn't get away with calling it new because meeting the squares hadn't taken a trip up to 31st Street.
From 1939 through the 40s, Billy was queen of Swing Street. Backed just by rhythm and maybe a horn, she headlined all the streets leading cabarets. She quickly became the svelte Lady of the Gardenias, who at $2,000 a week was one of the highest paid black performers in America.
People I met in Harlem, Hollywood, and Cafe Society used to come in. There was always some kind of reunion. I was getting a little billing and publicity, so my old friends and acquaintances knew where to find me.
You know, she felt the warmth from her musicians, and she felt the warmth from the public. In a way, that was her love, probably her greatest love.
And all she needed to be happy was to be working, you know, and getting that response, getting that interaction from her audience.
Her fans sat close to her as she transformed the American songbook, including a few blues, into the Billie Holiday songbook. But soon she was labeled the street's moody woman, she who showed late and made scenes, some of them loud and rowdy. Then the street's worst hazard, the white dust. After 1942, a good night when she came in fixed. Even so, her voice floated above the rhythm, accenting and shading notes to make the coolest of ballads a swinging drum song.
She was a jazz musician, and she responded to the moment. And the moment changed because of the audience. The moment would change.
I sang to different kinds of audiences. Learned, changed from flannel to khaki, and always felt like everybody was closer together than before. Like we were all stranded in the same big stone.
Get your hat. Please don't worry. Just connect your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pivot sound? And that happy tune
is your spirit.
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street.
She was fabulous in the studio. She was right at the peak of her career. Right after that, I did that. I went into the club next to Jimmy Ryan's. I think it was called a Bandbox. And she was singing Lover Man. And I knew that that was a natural hit.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. Something I've never had. Never had no kisses. Oh, what I've been missing. Never, man, oh, where can you be?
Billy asked for strings on the date, and first I didn't want to do it, and then I went with her, and we used six fiddles on the date, and it's a the record just got into the NAS, the Record Academy Hall of Fame. Love me.
And you got all my that wish very sweet, many things that hugging and a kissing. Oh, what we've been missing, love a man, where can you be?
I just, I'm going to listen to the program. And Louis Armstrong, I think, the way she played a maid or something, and she wasn't that great, you know. Not that they gave her any great lines to say, you know.
Do you know what it means to this New Orleans? When that's where you left your heart.
Andy, couldn't I tell you not to let me catch you at that piano game? I'm sorry, ma'am. If I'd have heard you coming, I wouldn't have let you catch me.
Andy, you're incorrigible. This is Miss Merrily.
Hello, Wendy.
Welcome to New Orleans, Miss Merrily.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, let me fix you a good hot tub, and it will melt away all your time.
Wonderful.
About the only lines I had called on me to say, yes, Miss Merrily, no, Miss Merrily, in 23 different kinds of ways.
Wendy, yes, sir.
She was lady, you know, the most unlikeliest person to be a maid to anybody.
Yes, ma'am. There's no way in the world like my Satchmo.
He really is Louis. I like Satchmo best.
When the moon had a dreaming, starry eyed and dreaming, and the night got less and long. If you're kind of lonely and know that you're lonely, there's nothing but the blues are brewing. The blues are brewing. When the wind through the willow blows across your pillow and tells you sleeping long. If love holds a statue, then you be like Mercury. Then nothing but blues are brewing. The blues are brewing. Oh, you want somebody, but you ain't got nobody. You only got a gleam in your eye. If somebody's found you and put their loving arms around you, you got the feeling you want to die. But when the Lord up above you, the blues are coming. The things that you're doing, that you ain't got no time for blues. The blues.
Hard for a woman on the road. You know, you have your piano player. With any luck, you have your rhythm section. So you hang with them. But you can't hang with them all the time. So you wind up sitting in your hotel room, watching TV, having a drink or whatever, and it's lonely. Her birthday was the 7th of April, and mine was the 8th. And so I would try. She wanted to hang out her birthday into mine, and then, you know, I wanted to make mine, because she used to drink rum and coke or gin and coke at that time. And I don't know what I was drinking, whatever, but I just couldn't ever keep up with her. No way to keep up with her. So by the time her birthday was almost over, I was home in bed. And that's where I spent mine, trying to recuperate, you know. But she was a very strong woman and strong-willed and could hold her liquor, and she could, you know, she could talk with her, and everybody loved her. You have to be at your peak all the time. The public doesn't want to know that you've got a cold or whatever. They don't know. They paid their money. They want you at your very top. And that's very hard to do that after night.
I'm trying to live 100 days in one day. So I'm trying to please so many people. I'm just tired of myself. I want to bend this note, bend that note, and sing this way, sing that way, and get all the feeling and eat all the good foods and travel all over. And one day, I'm going to do it.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm not
Hard living caught up with Billy in 1947. 9.5 months in prison made her wonder if she still had a voice or an audience that remembered. Her answer came shortly after her release when she played Carnegie Hall. Her audience, overflowing onto the stage, stamped and whistled its adulation, and her voice, according to her pianist Bobby Tucker, was never silkier or more evocative.
Well, when Billy got in trouble, I think it was the time in Philadelphia. And she couldn't work. The liquor board wouldn't let her work nightclubs in New York, and that was her biggest scene, the 52nd Street in Manhattan and in New York. She could work theaters, but she couldn't work any place where they sold booze.
It was a terrible role. And it was very, very detrimental to her. I mean, that's stopping you from working. It's your livelihood.
In her own city, Billy was only able to play big stages. Still, she continued working clubs from Maine to California. In 1954, Leonard Feather starred her in the first of her two European tours. And later that year, she mesmerized the crowd at the premier Newport Jazz Festival. The 50s also brought recordings with Norman Nance's Cleft label in the classic holiday format, small groups with brilliant bass and patico rhythm and horns. Still, she missed terribly the intimacy of New York club life.
John Lee ran the Ebony Club on 52nd Street. He was a big-time operator, taking an injured inner chick fresh out of jail. Trouble started when Lily booked me into the Strand Theater on Broadway. Everybody was happy about the crowds that were flocked to the theater. Everybody thought this was great, except me. I thought people were just going to see how high I was.
All I know is I'm in love with you. Even though you say that we are true, I know without your love, I just think you're wrong. I wonder where our love is gone. Oh, what did I do? And what did I say? That if I could leave you to treat me this way, if I've never, I'm willing to pay. And darling, if that's not enough, I'm ready to say. So, darling, babe, wherever you may be, hear my plea and hold on to me. I know and of your love, I just can't go on. I wonder where our love has gone.
The literature of people ending problems of performers, especially jazz performers, is something that's built up by reporters. They are given to expect it, and they come to see it. If you're in the world of entertainment, alcoholism, addiction, things that are most available to you. And they don't necessarily have to do with failure or pain of some personal sort. And at your happiest time, you could get hooked because it is an occupational hazard in that world.
Wow, I think we all were kind of wild at this time.
She loved the music. She loved the people that played it. And she lived her life as a musician.
She showed me everything in life, you know. And we talked a lot about life and things like that and people and music and everything. And I was always her student.
My man don't love me. He treats me all so mean. My man, he don't love me.
get you out of me. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen.
She's listening to the guys backing her up. And they were all champions, and she was a champion.
You can ask for anything more. I've got enough of that saying Irish in me to believe that if the curtains are washed, company never comes. Tired, you bet. But all that I'll soon forget with my name. I hated that book. It was a sensationalized version of her life. There were phrases in it that I felt should not have been in there because she did have an incredible story. I remember when I read it that there was some stuff that I said, no, Lee, because I was there.
You know, and that's not unless I was crazy and looking the other way. But
I felt that she was being used.
Pieced together from interviews, Billy's autobiography, Lady Sings the Blues, was William Dufty's version of the singer's life. Billy seems to have let Dufty do the job to get much-needed cash. Pianist Carl Drinkard said she never worked on it herself, probably never read it.
It's the elegance, the universality of her musical statement that matters. That's what's important.
I don't know anybody that has been a singer that will have as many hits as Lady Day. Everything she made eventually turned to a hit record. And they purposely didn't give her good songs to sing. But she would sing them, and the little song that she sang was with a nickel man. Such song as What a Moonlight Can Do.
You hear the heart's running all day long. You only set across your portal just a little way. I love you.
Dr. Walter Dean, and we have been listening to Billie Holiday's life as an entertainer. She was gone from us at age 44, but provided us with a lot of positive feeling when she was alive. Boy, I wish that we had a lot of time that we could really talk about this particular young lady. Next week, we all will have probably Ella Fitzgerald, one of the greatest singers of all time. But more importantly, today was Billie Holiday, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed providing it for you. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening.